Hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazeri. Take it away, guys.
Once the door is locked, there's no way out.
And now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Bengals tight end ML Harris. Let me remind you about ML's background. He is from Columbus, Ohio, played his college ball at the University of Tampa before transferring to Kansas State. He played four seasons in the Canadian Football League, two with the Hamilton Tiger Cats and two more with the Toronto Argonauts before signing as a free agent with the Cincinnati Bengals in 1980. Played with the Bengals from 80 to 1985 and helped them make it to Super Bowl 16 in 1981. Over the course of his playing career, he had 244 receptions for just over 3,700 yards, and he scored 23 touchdowns. Today, he is a senior pastor and founder of New Life Outreach Christian Center back in his hometown of Columbus, Ohio, and we are honored that he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, ML, Chris and Bob here. Thanks for coming back on
the show. Welcome
back. Hey, Chris and Bob. It's good to be back with you guys.
Great to have
you. So, ML, I was sort of looking back over, your career and your numbers. You know, one of the things that sort of jumped out at me is you were sort of Rob Gronkowski before there was a Rob Gronkowski. I mean, in 77, you led the Hamilton Tiger Cats with 43 receptions for 771 yards, leading them by far, by the way, and you had six touchdowns. Talk about being a featured tight end at a time before tight ends were ever thought about being the feature receiver.
Well, at Hamilton, I wasn't even a tight end. In today's NFL, that's what they would have been called because I was in that slot position, always flanked out, or either coming out of the backfield in the tailback position in motion, today's tight end, I guess they should come up with a new name for him. because it's not really tight ends. I mean, they're great. I mean, they're great athletes, but they don't really come from that tight end spot most of the time to do their damage downfield.
And ML, when you ended up signing on with the Bengals in 80, as a kid from Columbus, Ohio, was that a dream come true? Is that where you always wanted to play?
No, I didn't want to play in Ohio. I actually wanted to go to Oakland. that was my dream team was Oakland, but the teams that showed the most interest was Minnesota and Cincinnati, and I knew a lot of the guys in Cincinnati. I knew Forest Gray. And I was close to home. My mother would have been able to see me play and stuff like that. So that's what I did. I went to Cincinnati. I chose Cincinnati over Minnesota.
And ML, Bob is up in frozen Connecticut right now and sort of makes me think of the Freezer Bowl game that you played in the playoff game that you guys played at home in Cincinnati against the Chargers. You caught a touchdown pass from Kenny Anderson early on in that game. What was that like? It had to be brutally cold. I mean, wind chills near 40 below zero, I was reading about that game. What was it like trying to play a football game in cold like that?
You know, initially we were so pumped, and we had a lot of skin lube on, a lot of stuff to keep, cut the wind from getting to the skin directly, but our adrenaline was flowing so high. By the time, we didn't even feel we didn't feel the cold until the fourth quarter when we knew we had the game won. Then, you start coming down. And, that's when we realized how cold it was. And there were some guys being frostbitten and stuff like that. And Eddie Edwards, he frostbitten. Mm-hmm. Ross Browning was frostbitten. And, that was a very cold game, and it's not easy playing on that river.
And what was it like when the game was over? Now, you talk about all the guys coming off and how cold it got towards the end and frostbite and that sort of thing. But on the other end of that, you got to have some euphoria because now you're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, the last 5 minutes of that game, man, you could feel the bite of the weather. The wind was starting to pick up again, and even though we knew we was going to the Super Bowl and we were excited, about going to Super Bowl, we also wanted to get in off that field.
No doubt.
You know,
Bob, questions for ML.
Inside.
Great to have you back, ML. And I look back on your career and that, first of all, that rookie season, 1980, you know, you come in and there's some established stars. And I used to love watching, like, Ken Anderson throw to Isaac Curtis. And I think Curtis was always an underrated receiver to me. And I, looking at his numbers, I think they could have been a lot better. I know it was a different era back then, but talk about him. He just seemed to me like a very professional receiver, very skilled man.
Yeah, Isaac was the best for me. To me, Isaac was the best. His character was flawless on the field as well as off the field. And Isaac helped me a lot. And we played on the same side of the field a lot. So, you know, our routes were kind of, you know, we had to do our job to get each other open. But Isaac's a class act. You know, it's hard to find anyone like him. He was not only a great athlete and receiver. I mean, he was catching balls off his shoestrings, you know, and still running. I mean, you don't hardly see that, you know, today. You know, guy catching the ball off of his shoestrings and still being able to keep stride. You know, it sounds impossible. It sounds crazy. But if you've seen the film, you just say, wow, how did he do that?
And I often ask our guests, ML, about their off seasons and their preparation for the following season. Now, both in Canada and when you were in the NFL, I mean, you're going to catch passes during the year. Did you do a lot of pass catching in the off season? Was it a lot of footwork, a lot of weight training, or a lot of rest?
I went more towards the rest side. The rest side. I took the first, you know, after the season was over, man, I made sure that my body recovered. And I rested. I kind of had more of a European type training rather than the American way of doing things. No pain, no gain. You know, I just gradually moved back into training. I didn't have to worry about injuring myself that way. Also, my body appreciated it. I didn't do a lot of jogging. I stayed off my feet a lot. I did a lot of rowing and biking. For my cardiovascular. I didn't do a lot of heavy lifting. Did a lot of cardio workouts with the weights and different things like that because I wanted the stamina. And then when it got close to us coming together during the summer, you know, I increased my weights and different things like that, and I started doing more. I did a lot of skill work. That was important to me, the skill work stuff. But, you know, I didn't do a lot of distant type running and stuff like that, that a lot of people talked about. I used the bike and the rower for that.
ML, I want to go back to your experience in the Super Bowl and leading up to the game. I was curious, you know, after the AFC Championship is won and you guys, you know, start to get into your preparation for the Super Bowl, all the logistics that have to happen. We were talking about this a moment ago with Tony Collins. But you got your family, you got to get in there. I'm sure you've got, you know, every person you've ever met in your life trying to get Super Bowl tickets and that sort of thing. Was it a big distraction trying to get everything sort of situated the week before and getting everybody there and all of the tickets and all that sort of thing? Or did that work out really well for you?
Well, it was a big distraction. And it wasn't so much the tickets, getting tickets, because I wasn't trying to get a lot of tickets for people and stuff like that myself. You know, I made sure my family had their tickets and whatnot. But the big distraction was media. It was the cold weather we still, you know, had to be in, starting to get ready for. You know, I mean, we didn't go but very far. I mean, up to Troy, Michigan. I mean, you know, and that. You know, the week before we came up to Troy, we were still practicing in Cincinnati, and it was still cold. So that was, you know, that was hard. Excuse me, that was hard. And then we broke pattern. Family, you know, our wives were allowed to come and be in the room with us, and, you know, the wives they weren't there to play. They were there, you know, play football. They were there to have a good time and enjoy the festivities and stuff like that. And, you know, I wanted to remain focused. I wanted to do what I normally do when I go on a road trip. You know, I'm in my playbook. I'm off my feet, you know, and I'm preparing myself mentally for the game. I just want to, you know, I want to be focused on that. And you know, when the Wyatts came, it was like, okay, take me out and different things like this. That's not why we're here. You know, and so now why are you getting mad? Because we don't take the time and stuff. It's like, that was a distraction for me, you know, and for a lot of the other guys as well. And it showed up. It showed up.
So
in
looking
the game,
at the game,
know.
When you look at the game itself, ML, I mean, the 49ers scored two early touchdowns, and then your defense holds them to four field goals the rest of the way. Was there something offensively, when you look back on that game and you think back on it, was there something you think, boy, I sure wish we would have done this, and maybe the game turns out different?
Well, I don't, you know, we had too many mental errors, that's all. We broke down mentally. You know, blown assignments and different things like that on bread and butter plays. And, you know, they didn't have to stop us. We stopped ourselves. You know, we shot ourselves in the foot with the opening kickoff, you know, two fumbles on the same kickoff. So, you know, we didn't really give ourselves a running good chance, starting out in the game. And then once we went in halftime and came, got ourselves together and to come out to play, you know, so many mistakes it's hard to recover from, especially when you're playing against a great team like the 49ers. And even though we had that chance down on the goal line, but still there was still mental errors, you know, blown aside, blocking assignments and things like that. And, you know, I got a pass interference in the end zone that wasn't called. You know, I got tackled before the ball got to me, but they didn't call that. You know, I don't know if anyone really saw that. No one really made a big deal out of it. You know, when I watched the film, no one made a big deal out of it. You know, when I watched it on TV and stuff, the announcers didn't say a lot about it. The official didn't say anything, even when I went to talk to him about it. So there was a lot of different things that took place that cost us that game. And, you know, it wouldn't have been a pass interference. The body just did the fundamentals, you know, come back to the ball, all the way back to the ball. He couldn't have reached me then, and I would have made the catch, and then it would have been game over. So it was a lot of mental stuff that we didn't carry out our assignments to the fullest.
So, ML, when you look at the Bengals now, what do you think? What do you think they need to do differently going forward? Obviously, let Marvin Lewis go, now it looks like they're going to go in a different direction. What do you think about the Bengals now, and what's your hope for them as they move forward?
You know, I'm hoping the guys will rally and take a new attitude and coming into the season and get hungry, you know, get hungry and play the whole game, you know, come out and take no prisoners and play aggressively the whole game and carry out their assignments and be where they're supposed to be and, you know, learn their playbook. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, that takes place because I saw a lot of mental errors, you know, just like we did in the Super Bowl. They doing all throughout the year, you know, blown assignments. I said, this is the National Football League. How do you have someone wide open? You know, I can't understand that, you know. And, you know, I just hope that they take the game more serious than what they were showing before in the past. Play the whole game.
We got to get your pick for this Sunday's game. Who do you like on Sunday and why?
Oh, that's easy. I want the Rams.
There you go.
I want the
Rams.
There
you go.
I believe the Rams will win. I think the Rams, it's their time. It's their time. I just believe that they've done, even though both teams would have been eliminated if certain things would have been pass interference would have been called and who was four lined up offside, and, you know, that's, you know, the breaks. But, you know, I just think that I like the Rams better. I just think they have a different energy than New England's going to have. New England's going to do what New England does. They're going to, you know, they're going to play well, I believe. I don't think they're going to go up there and just blow it. But I think the Rams are going to beat them up.
ML, before we let you go, you're doing some wonderful things up there in your home now. You're a senior pastor and the founder of the New Life Outreach Christian Center. Talk about what you're doing now.
Well, we're trying to maintain a steadiness, you know, just like, you know, to me, it's no different than playing on a winning team. You know, you have to be consistent. You have to you have to communicate with the people. You have to let people know that, you know, you're there for them and you care. If there's, if they need help, you got to be able to, be prepared to help them, and things like that. And you have to, you know, introduce yourself to new people. You got to keep people coming because, you know, church is like a revolving door. You know, it's like the mall. People are constantly coming and going. You know, so, you know, you got to really show them an interest that makes them come back each week, you know. You know, people are always constantly shopping for something new, you know, but you got to let them know how much they're loved and cared for and that you're family. And so, you know, let's stick together. Let's do what we have to do, that type of thing. So we're constantly doing that. We're constantly looking for ways of making sure that we stay in touch with our community and things like that. The All Boys Academy, we want to continue to build upon that and get these young men to their destiny on time and so that they have hope and, you know, don't give up, you know, fight their way through, you know, the whole bit. And so, you know, playing in the National Football League or just playing football in general, I've learned a lot of different things and, you know, I carry it over into my daily walk. So I want to stay on fire for the Lord and on fire for the people around me and help them to see that there is hope. There's a better way in life and we can do it together.
ML, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're doing, whether it's online or it's on social media?
Well, you know, our website is New Life Outreach Christian Center.org. You can go on our website and see the different things that we're doing and different events that we might be having and those type of things. And our phone numbers there, how to contact us, is all of that's on the website. And everything, the Boys Academy, the whole bit, it's all on the website, New Life Outreach Christian Center.org.
Well, ML, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. We hope you'll come back and do it again sometime. We always enjoy it when you're a part of the show.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for keeping me in mind and keep us lifted up. And then if, you know, once the Rams win, you know, both of us can be happy.
There you go. Absolutely right. ML, take care. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up soon.
All right, take care.
That is former Bengals tight end ML Harris. We've got our next guest, LaVon Kirkland, hanging on the line. We're going to get to LaVon on the other side of this real quick station break.